Okay, let's go to Tanya. On Perek Lamed Gimel, and the top it's 82, at the bottom is 149, in the Big Tanyas. But page 82 on top, chapter 33. Okay, Perek Lamed Beis, this is a while ago, since before Purim yet. Okay, Perek Lamed Beis, Alter Rebbe explains the whole concept of Avos Yisrael. And he said, because first he was dealing with the level of Simcha, and the bottom is 149, and the top it's 82. Just reviewing for a second.
Oh, okay.
In chapter 32, the Alter Rebbe was explaining the mitzvah of Avos Yisrael, because he said before chapter 32, he says a Jew needs to have simcha by understanding the greatness of the neshama, and when they do a mitzvah, the way Hashem comes only upon them and all unites with them and the unity. And he says, in Perek Lamed Beis, he explained in chapter 32, he explained that by having this concept of the soul dominant over the body, then it's very easy to come to the mitzvah of Avos Yisrael, loving another Jew, because what separates one Jew from the next is the body. Our souls are all one. And therefore your soul, my soul, is really the same soul. So then, if my body is more important than my soul, I can never come to love anybody, because your body is what differentiates me from my body. And by me, my body is the primary, and your body is secondary, so I can never come to love you. But if the body is secondary, inferior, and the primary is the neshama, and a Jew realized my neshama, his neshama, her neshama, their neshama, it's all one neshama, so then you can come very easily to love another Jew. And he said in Lamed Beis that even those Jews that the Gemara says you can hate, it's still a difference between you love them, but you hate what they do. And that's what the Alter Rebbe explained. Okay. So now in Perek Lamed Gimel, the Alter Rebbe is going to continue how a person can come to the level of simcha and joy in serving Hashem. He says, "Eizes tiasimchas anefesh u'amitis." This is the way to have true simcha. It's very interesting. You know, a lot of people, teenagers, are having a good time. They're really happy. But you know, it's not real joy. It's having a good time, but it's not penetrating, internalized, real, as they say, true blue level of simcha. Alter Rebbe says, true simcha, u'befrat k'shemreya benafshei. Especially when a person sees within himself, be'itim azumanim in designated times, she'tzarech lezachecha, that we need to refine our soul, u'lahi'ira b'simchas levav, and to illuminate it with the glory and joy of the nefesh. In other words, the Alter Rebbe is going to say, what happens when you feel you need to have a little bit more simcha? What do you do to create joy within the person, true joy within the person? He says like this, as a yamik machshavti, the person should delve their mind, v'yitzayir b'sichli u'binasei, and they should picture with their intellect and their understanding, with their chokhmah and bina, basically, inyan yichuda yisparcho amiti, the true unity of Hashem. And he's going to elaborate on this now. Eichu memale kol almin, the way God permeates the worlds, al-yeinim v'tachteinim, the higher worlds and the lower worlds, meaning spiritual realms, physical realms. Afilu male kol ha'aretz ha'lezu, even the permeating of his presence in this world, hu kveide yizbarach, is the glory of Hashem. The whole world is filled with the glory of Hashem. V'kula kamei kol echoshiv mamish, and the whole world compared to God is nothing. I'll explain this whole thing in a second. And God is the only existence in the higher worlds and in the lower worlds. The way he was before creation. Okay, let me explain this first outside. We say in davening every day before the minyan davening, so to speak, we say like this. Atahu atchali nivra ha'olam. Atahu mishin nivra ha'olam. If you translate it simply into English, God, you existed before the world was created, and you're existing now that there is the world. So then simply it means you were there before, and you're there now too. But Chassidus explains it's not what the concept means. The concept means much deeper. What they're saying is, Atahu kedem shenivra olam, just like you were before the world was created, that the only thing that existed was you. Ata, the same way you and only you exist now that there is a world. We're not saying, God, you were there before and you're here now too. We're saying, just like you existed before the world was created, meaning only you, you and only you existed, now that there is a world, the only real existence is you. Let's elaborate on this because this is, you know, fundamental Judaism 101, or Chassidus definitely 101. The existence, Zal Treb explains, you say it again also, like he quotes before from Perek Chof and Chof Aleph that we learned. But when you have the existence of an object without God's power in the object will not exist. Okay? There's a pasuk in Tehillim that the Baal Shem Tov, it's really a medrash, but the Baal Shem Tov elaborated on it and publicized the medrash. It says, La'olam Hashem, Dvar Chanitza Bashamayim. Forever God, your words are standing in the heaven. That's what David HaMelech says in Tehillim. La'olam Hashem, forever God, Dvar Chanitza Bashamayim, the words that you said are standing in the heaven. So the medrash says, what does that mean? So the medrash says, when God created the world, he said, let there be a heaven. Those words are continuously creating the world. Continuously there, keeping the world in existence. And Shai Yichud Valmuna Dal Treb explains why. Why does it have to be? Because when Hashem created the world, he didn't create the world something from something. Like a carpenter builds a table, right? They take a pre-existing piece of wood, they change the shape and the form of it. The matter existed, but the form, they changed the form, and now instead of just a piece of wood, it's a table or a chair, whatever it may be. So they didn't create something from nothing. They took a pre-existent thing, matter, and changed the form. Before God created the world, there was nothing. If you want to make nothing into something, meaning the nature of the world before Hashem created it is nothing, if you want to change that nature, you have to have a constant force in it. And Al Trebi gives the analogy from what we just celebrated on the seventh day of Pesach, Kriyas Yamsuf, Hashem split the sea. Okay? Or to use more modern language, you have a dam in the water. Okay, so the dam is holding the water from flowing. Yeah? You can have a dam in the water for 1,000 years. The second you take away the dam, the water goes back to its original nature of flowing as if the dam was never there. Is that you can tell the water going a little bit slower because there was a dam. The second you take away the dam, the water will go back to its original nature of flowing. Why? Because the nature of everything is to go to its nature. If you want to change its nature, you have to have a constant force in it changing its nature. But the second you take out that force, it goes back to its original nature. If you throw a ball up in the air, right, the ball will only go up for the amount of power you put into the thrust. The second your power is over, the ball will come back down to earth as if it never left. Why? You call gravity, whatever you want to call it. Because the nature of a ball is to be down here. If you want to change its nature, you need a constant power to change its nature. That we see. Now, water flowing or water standing are both nature. They're both natural. Except this flows and this stands. When God took nothing and made nothing into something, the world essentially is nothing. by nature. It's not that God took something and changed the form of it, but the matter existed before. God's creating matter. Yesh mi'ayin, something from nothing. So what is Hashem doing? He's taking basically nothing and making nothing into something. So if he's not constantly in the something keeping it existent, it will become nothing again. Correct? Therefore, the existence of this cup is the power of God in it. Without the power of God in it, there is no cup. It's not even a crushed cup. There is no cup. It would disappear as if it never was. Mm-hmm. Correct? Like the dam in the water. Mm-hmm. Now, so Hashem, that's what the pasuk says, forever God, your word is standing in the heaven. Meaning, when God said, let there be a heaven, God is constantly recreating. God constantly renews the world. And therefore, this is what's called continuous creation. Therefore, what is the existence of the world? The power of God that's in it. Correct? Now, before in chapter, that's premise number one. Premise number two is, God created the universe, with one word. Bidvar Hashem, Shemayim Nas. With one word. There are 10 utterances. But that was only the revelation of the one utterance of Bereshis. And then the 9 utterances put everything into place. Now, we learned this concept many times, but it's really fundamental. The power of speech of a person, the power of speech, is infinite. But we live 120 years. 120 years has X amount of seconds. It takes a second to say a word. So realistically, we can only speak a limited amount of words. 120 times 365 times 24 times 60 times... Right? Got it? Okay. But it's a limited world. But our power of speech... If you take a trillion and you take away one, it's a trillion minus one. But when we speak, our power of speech does not become diminished. It remains infinite. It's just practically we can't speak infinite because we live a limited amount of time. And each word takes a second, so you have a limited amount of seconds. So realistically, you can only speak a limited amount of words. Right? Now, if God created the world, therefore, by us, speak by humans now, one word from my mouth compared to my power of speech is one compared to infinite. Correct? Now, above my power of speech is my power of thought, which is higher than speech. So if you want to compare one word to my power of speech, of thought, it's even more nothing. Correct? Now, above thought, I have my 7 emotional attributes. Above that, I have intellect. Above that, I have willpower. Right? Got it? So if you're going to compare one word compared to the power of speech, power of thought, the power of the emotions, power of the intellect, power of the willpower, power of pleasure, power of the essence... You can imagine that this one word is completely non-existent. Correct? It doesn't do any change to me whatsoever, whether I said the word or I didn't say the word. To my essence, there is absolutely no connection whatsoever between that one word and my essence. Got it? Yeah? Okay, let's switch gears. The whole universe is one word from God's mouth. Compare that to God's power of speech, so to speak, to God's power of thought, to God's emotions, to God's intellect, to God's willpower, to God's pleasure, to God's essence. Yeah? That one word, the universe is pretty big, by the way. Just think about it. They keep finding new stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it keeps expanding, but it's limited. That's all one word. Now, if you're comparing that to the essence of God, and remember, the existence of the universe, not the life of the universe, the existence of the universe is dependent on that one word from God's mouth. That without that word, the universe doesn't exist. You know, a soul gives life to the body, but it doesn't make the body exist. When the soul dies, the person's still alive for a while. I mean, not alive, but the body exists. So the soul gives life to the body. The soul doesn't create the body. God's word creates the universe. That means without that power of God in it, yeah, the universe doesn't exist. Now, this one word from God's mouth, so to speak, the power of Hashem, compared to the essence of Hashem, is completely non-existent. Got it? Now, Talmud Rebbe is going to come to, yet, you do one tiny mitzvah, you connect to the essence of God. Not to the one word that created the universe. You do a mitzvah, you connect yourself to the essence of Hashem. So he says, this is what he's going to be leading up to. You can imagine the joy that a person can get by realizing, when they think about this, and they realize, you know what? I'm going to do one, as they say in America, one lousy little mitzvah. You know? It's not lousy. You connect to the essence of God that's infinitely, 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 infinitely greater than the universe. So he says, and therefore he says like this, just like nothing existed before God said that one word, now that God said that one word, compared to him, the world doesn't change him in any way. So therefore, what's the real existence of the universe? What's keeping the universe existing? Not only alive, existing is Hashem himself. And therefore, God's presence is all over. The whole universe is really just one word from God's mouth, so and that's its existence. So really, it's all God. And that's what we say. You were there before, and just think before the world was created, only you existed. Now that there's a world that created, you're also God, you're the only one that exists. And he says, when you meditate into that, it can really get you out of the, what's clinical depression, which is an anti-Jewish word. But it can get you to understand where you're able to reach and attain by one tiny act. Can you imagine? You take a nickel and put a nickel in a pushka, which is a mitzvah, right? You can imagine what you're connecting yourself to by that one mitzvah. And it's not an accomplishment. And this is another unique thing that I've spoken about many, many times. If you ask a person today, what's achievement? What's an achieved person? President of the United States, CEO of Microsoft, something decent. Yeah, that's all limited. Even if you make $100 million a year, let's say, pleasant dreams. But let's say you make $100 million a year. There are people that do that, by the way. They're very unhappy people, I promise you. But let's say you make 100 million. It's only 100 million times one. It's limited. It's 100 million times one. You do a mitzvah. From creation, you become one with God. So you become creator. You become what's called God's partner in creation. As Alter Rebbe is going to explain, God created a physical world. We're his partners to make the physical world holy by doing Torah mitzvahs. So we become God's partner. What's the definition of a partner in English? An equal. That's the definition of a partner. You're an equal. So a person does one mitzvah, then you become, from creation, you become creator. From nivra, you become bere. What greater accomplishment is that? So if you're talking about accomplishments, who's to measure accomplishments? This is what Alter Rebbe is explaining over here. If a person wants to come to the level of simcha, this is what they need to think about. God existed before the world. God is existing now. There is a world. Okay, top line of 151. The last word on the line. V'gam b'mokim hazeh, even this world. Shenivra ba'elam hazeh, that God created this world. Hashemayim v'aretz, heaven and earth. V'chol tzvarim and everything in it, all the hosts of it. Ha'yohu levadei mamale mokim hazeh. Just see, before God created the world, only God existed there. Right? Only God existed before He created the world. Gam ato kein, so it is now. Hu levadei belishim shinoi klal. So it is now without any change whatsoever. Mipnei shekola nivroim, because, wow, how could that be? Because every creation, b'telim etzeh, completely subjugated and nullified to them. B'metzias mamish, in a total nullification. Like he says, like the bittel, like the nullification of letters of speech and thought, b'mekedem v'sharshim, in the source. You know, before you speak, or before you think, most of it, supposed to, you think, you speak. But the letters don't originate in thought. They're letters in the above thought. But over there, there's no letters. It's similar, I'll give you an example, Dr. Rebbe says later in Tanya also. Shayuchat Vamunud, Dr. Rebbe says, if the sun's rays can shine millions of miles away from the sun, 92 million miles, approximately, give or take a few million. Yeah. If they could shine millions of miles away from the sun, they definitely exist in the sun. Yet, the rays of the sun in the sun is only the sun. There are no rays, because over there, the rays are so bottled and nullified and subjugated to the source. You don't say, when you look at the sun, you say, oh, look at the rays. No, the rays is when they leave the sun. Now, if God spoke, it's like God's rays. But if God's essence is all over, you can't say God is over there and He spoke and the rays come through and He's over there and the rays are here. God's all over. Right? So by God's speech, see, when we speak, our words leave us. Right, we speak, the words leave you. You could tape it, you could record, not tape it, sorry, wrong word. You could record it, right? You could do whatever you want. Or as they say in English, before you speak, you control your words. After you speak, your words control you. Because you can't take them back anymore, right? As we know. Once you say it, it's out of the bag, that's it. But by Hashem, it's not even the rays of the sun leaving the sun when He spoke, because God's all over, says the rays of the sun in the sun. It's the speech before you speak. And therefore the whole universe, that this is what Dalton is adding here now, the whole universe, not only is it one word compared to infinite, but even more so, because Hashem's essence is all over, the rays, the speech that He created the world with, never even left Him. So it's the rays of the sun, in the sun, that the only thing that exists is God Himself. And yet, you do one tiny mitzvah, that's what you connect to. Okay, he says, like, Kibbutz Oisius, like the five lines in the top. Like the bit of the Isis Adiva Machshav B'mkev V'shashim before you spoke them, which is Mohosa Nefesh V'atzmusa, the essence of the Nefesh, which are the 10 levels of Chochma Bina and Das. She'em B'amchinas Isis Adayin, there's no letters yet in, it's interesting, like, what language do you think in? Or, 2 and 2 is 4, in what language? Intellectual concept. Any intellectual concept. What language is it in? It's above language. It's the way it is in, because it's above language, by the way, it can come into any language you want. Right? Just like your hand, before you write, you could write any letter of the alphabet, any letter of the alphabet, any letter of any language that exists in the world, any symbol, any mark, anything. Because, so the question like this, if I'm writing, is there an A part of my, in my finger, is there an A, B, C, D? No. After I write the A, yeah, I limited it that it's A. But in the source, before I write, all the letters are equally there. Because there are no letters yet. They're all bottle to the power of writing that my finger has. And before Hashem spoke, the words never left him. Because by Hashem he's all over, the words never left him even after he said them. So therefore the essence of Hashem is all over. So therefore, what's the existence of God in the world? Only, what's the existence of the world? There's only Hashem. This is something people need to meditate. They'll be much better people. Like Dalt Rebbe says, the physical analogy of this is Bitl Ziva Ard Hashemesh B'Mekedei, the ray of the sun, like I said, in the sun, which is Guf Kadr Hashemesh Shebirakir, which is the ball of sun in the sky. Shigam Shammeiru Mispachi Vadi Ziva Erei. There's no question that if the ray can shine millions of miles away from the sun, they definitely exist within the sun. Not only that, but B'yesis Ace, it's even stronger than when it leaves the sun. Bispashtutsu Eros B'chol Eilam Ela Shesham Who bottle b'metzias, but the rays of the sun in the sun are bottle b'metzias b'mekeri, are completely nullified in the source, and therefore it's ki'ilu ein b'metzias klal. Therefore, it's a non-existent entity. Not that it's not there; it's there, but it's only one with the source. The whole existence of the universe, from God's perspective, and by the way, the true perspective. Is the only real existence is Hashem himself, and that's it. This, that the world seems to be something, is only from our perspective. But the truth, the only thing that exists is God. All the speech that he created the world with is within Hashem. Hashem is the only thing that exists all over. So therefore, the whole world is really, really God. What?
So why would Hashem want to keep company, so to speak, with something that's not on his level? Wouldn't he rather engage, so to speak, with some kind of being or existence that he could relate to intellectually on his own level? Do you know what I'm saying?
You know, you're giving me 1 minute to explain something that'll probably take a few hours. First of all, you said an incorrect statement. Is there anything closer and further to Hashem if, as far as God is concerned, everything's the same? What's closer to God, spiritual or physical?
Same.
Good, you learned. Right? So you can't say, why isn't God now being involved with spiritual things closer to him than physical? Because if spiritual be closer to physical, to Hashem than physical, you're limiting God in levels. But that's not from out. If you're bored, remind me next week, I will, oh, 1 second.